So, look, we're not Catholics. We're not. No. We're not even men of faith, particularly.
Unless you're Mike Tyson, in which case we both have faith.
Okay, no, I can't even deny that's mint. Okay, I can't deny that. Oh, you've already derailed me.
Thank you.
I'm just going to say, look, we're not going to pretend that we know all that much about our relationship with God, but we are going to sincerely and compassionately look at the Catholic faith.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
Yeah, here we go.
I like that.
As it's portrayed in the film, and try to not offend Catholics. But just know, if we do...
Soz.
Forgive us.
I'm Ben Groves.
I'm Rob McFarlane.
And welcome to the Every Movie Ever Podcast!
That's right, we're doing Conclave for no reason.
Yay.
Oh, look, buddy. I was watching this and I was like, this is my crack. This is just people talking in a room. And I could feel your hatred. I was like, Emperor Palpatine, across the galaxy, I could feel your hatred.
There was a disturbance in the Force. Do you know what I felt whilst watching this?
Do it.
I was watching it and I was like, I can almost hear your dick hitting the bottom of a table somewhere. Somewhere out there, knowing that a conclave is being viewed.
Yeah.
Your erection is just fucking
hammering. It was more that I was able to convince you to watch it.
Convince is a strong word. You were like, we're doing it. And I was like, fuck, I ain't got a choice. And in all fairness, I'd seen this.
Okay.
I'd seen this once.
Right.
That was enough.
Right.
Had to watch it again.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
Yeah, I made you.
And then I had to watch it a couple more times. And yeah, it's one of them. It's the rewatchability of Conclave. It's not great.
Dude, I was going to say this.
It's not great.
I adore this film. It's not a film I would watch four times in 1 week, which is what you did. About halfway through your third rewatch, you're like, oh, really not getting on with this, man. I'm like, funny that.
Yeah.
Funny that.
But it's brought an interesting dynamic to my take on this film.
Right.
And therefore the episode, because I'm gonna train this. I'm going to railroad this through.
Okay, right? I'm into it.
There's two Bens that are present here with us today. There's two Bens in the room with us right now.
Right.
There's Ben who watched this once and has a first reaction to this.
Okay, yeah.
There's Ben that then has rewatched this and had a very different reaction to this. But then I guess there's a third Ben. We'll meet third Ben later.
Right, okay.
But there
for now, we'll just run with two Bens.
There's two Bens for now.
And I'm guessing one likes the film and one doesn't.
One loved the film and was happy to leave it there.
Right.
And then the other one had to rewatch it.
A number of times and went, I hate this because there's no dinosaurs in it.
Maybe not hate it.
But hate it.
Yeah, I mean,
but strongly dislike.
It's not even a strong dislike. It was just more of a, it made me feel inadequate in ways that I wasn't prepared to admit.
Okay, good. Right? That's a good start for me.
I'm watching this stuff and it's
that's the kind of film I enjoy.
Yeah, same.
Yeah.
Because it kind of highlights flaws. I was going to say sort of flaws that I could work on, but it's more fundamental. Like on a molecular level, I feel like I'm flawed somehow now.
Okay.
Because I'm watching this and I'm like, I'm so fucking ignorant to just not understand half of the shit that's going on right now.
Do you know what I really like though? Is quite often I'll show you a thing that I like.
And it makes me feel inadequate.
And it makes you feel inadequate. And then you just go, well, I'm ignorant and that's great. And I'm going to just be ignorant. And you're racist for not accepting my ignorance. And I'm like, oh, I wanted to have a chat about this. And I'm like, nah, shit, mate.
That is pretty racist.
Right. And then... And then this time you've been like, no, okay, bring the table.
I'm into this.
I feel like a conversation can be had now.
I'm ready to dive in. I'm ready to get going with it.
We've staged the room. It's nice.
Yeah. I guess. How you doing, man?
I'm settling in at work. I am limping to payday just because this is the first month in 3 years where I've lived solo.
Yeah.
And it's fine. I'm budgeting as best I can. I think the main thing is the first month. So there were things like lampshades and bins and stuff that I just didn't have.
That you didn't know that you needed.
Right, exactly. Yeah, so every time I went to do a thing, I was like, oh, I don't have a sink plug. I can't fill the sink.
Yeah, that's a thing.
I better go out and get one. And so there was like a couple of £100 that I'm not going to have to spend every month.
Okay.
Which I'm hoping, you know, payday can come around and I can breathe again.
That's good.
But yeah, besides that, settling in, getting used to being a real boy again, you know?
Nice.
Yeah.
I like it, man. It looks good on you.
How about you? How you doing?
Good. There's not much going on.
How's the lung?
Ah, fucked, man. It's fine, though. I've got a plan. I'm not going to talk about the plan because
we're not doing about the plan. For new listeners, Ben's got half a lung because one lung collapsed and the other one's on the way. So he's
but got the other one fixed, and then the initial collapse got better.
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
it collapsed again, and then it got better, and then it's collapsed again. Yes. It's on this sort of like weird self-hatred cycle right now.
Right.
It's
right,
like I've got an emo teen as a lung.
Right, yeah, it's just
hell bent.
It's like God is sort of like a DJ, and he's just pulling the record back every time your lung fixes.
Yeah, but instead
he's
of the record...
He's scratching with your health.
He's scratching with my health. But instead of like a record, it's just sort of like a semi-flaccid lung. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just a wet scratch.
Visionary. Really, you know, getting into moist beats at the moment.
Moist
God,
beats. That's what it is. Right?
All right. Let's sum up the show a little bit, because we've had an indulgent intro and I've enjoyed it. But
indulgent.
It's, you know, we've lounged here. But let's sum up the show. What we're going to talk about, because this is the best film of last year,
yep.
and I really wanted to cover it. But the Oscars this year were so
aggressively mid. Aggressively mid.
We just couldn't find a way to do this right without having to do other Oscars, and then we had.
Can you imagine me talking about Emilia Perez?
Why did you say the name, Ben?
Can you imagine me talking about
now
it?
Now the whole room stinks.
Yeah. Imagine me talking about it for an hour.
Yeah. Okay. No one wants that.
Yeah. Exactly.
No one wants that. So we didn't do it.
Yeah.
But then, you know, because he was a loving, caring man, Pope Francis was willing to give us the push we needed.
What a diamond.
Yeah.
He is a true fan of this podcast. I mean, what have you done for us lately, listener?
Right.
Not you, Patreon. We see you.
We see you, Patreon.
He's gorgeous.
What were you other lot?
But yeah, what have you guys done for us?
Have you told a mate?
Have you even joined Patreon yet? Have you even told a friend, hey, listen, there's two knobheads in England who do nothing with their spare time other than chat shit about films. And sometimes it's a little bit funny. Once or twice, I do a little... out of my nose.
We'll come back to out the nose. Before we do, I feel like there are going to be a large portion of our listeners who, they were here for Tammy and the T-Rex. They were here for the Island of Dr. Moreau.
Yeah.
And we've dropped a serious one on them. So it's likely they've not seen it. And I think we should just let them know what happens in the film so they know what the hell we're talking about for the rest of the hour.
We can do it.
Or maybe those of you that saw it and, you know.
Just want to recap? You just want to know what's going on? You want to know... We're going to break it down so that you know exactly what we're talking about later on in the episode. And you're not sitting there being like, what in the
what
two
is this
fucks
film? Right.
Are we talking about right now?
Right, right, right. I'll do the first paragraph because I've just looked at it and it's got some names in it that are Italian.
It's got some names in it, therefore I'll do it because I don't trust you with names.
It's not that I don't trust you with names, Ben. Yeah. I want you to shine, all right? I want you to shine.
All right, thank you.
After the death of a fictional pope, and this is definitely not Pope Francis, even though he's got the same glasses... policies and is found dead in the same place Pope Francis slept.
Sure.
The College of Cardinals in the Vatican have to elect a new pope. Funny that. I imagine what that must be like.
Yeah.
Cardinal Lawrence is the dean and therefore in charge of running the voting process, which is called a conclave.
Mm-hmm.
Among the prominent candidates you've got a traditionalist. He's a bastard called Cardinal Tedesco.
Who's that played by? Because I don't remember the names of
these.
He's
the Italian fella, played by the Italian
fella.
Yeah,
I love this guy. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Then you've got regular flavor bastard Cardinal Adeyemi.
He's the
African cardinal.
Yeah, love that guy.
Who seems reasonable, but he's still pretty hardline conservative.
Yeah.
He's down the middle, which, again, we're talking down the middle of Catholic, so it's not exactly like...
There's not much leeway either
right,
way.
Right, it's not Glastonbury Festival.
Yeah.
And then you've got bastard-like Cardinal Bellini, who is played by Stanley Tucci.
That's
and
the one.
Relative to all the people we see in this film, is a goddamn hippie. But if you and I were to meet him, we'd be like, wow, he is right-wing.
Yeah.
Because they're Catholic cardinals. And within the context of this film, he's wildly inaccurate to what any cardinal would believe.
But he's a trier, and that's what I love about him. He's like your granddad,
right,
who has been brought up in a different era, and he utters one racial slur that one time, and everyone's like, you can't really say that anymore. And he's like, oh my God, I'm so sorry, did I offend?
Right, exactly.
I'm really trying to... call them now? And it's like, people.
Granddad, right.
They're people.
Yeah, exactly that. within the realms of Catholicism, Cardinal Bellini's a lovely dude.
He's trying.
He's a trier.
I really like this guy because you can see it. You can see it in his tiny Tucci eyes that he's trying. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
All right. The process is disrupted when Archbishop Vincent Benitez arrives. Love this guy.
Yeah.
Revealing that he was secretly made a cardinal. A cardinal?
Cardigan.
Revealing that he was secretly made a cardinal by the late Pope.
Yeah.
As the voting proceeds, scandals and controversies about the candidates emerge, causing divisions and shifting alliances. It's...
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Allegations of bribery, past indiscretions and ideological differences stall the election, pushing the conclave into a deadlock. Okay. All right. I've got stuff on this. The whole vote becomes a minor shit show. A minor shit show. It's just a slagging matches between a bunch of bell ends. It's middle-aged men being bitchy in a way that I've never wanted to be in my entire life more than I do right now.
Right.
Because I feel like I'm getting to an age.
Right.
Where it made sense to me. See, I was like, you know what? I do want to slap one of my mates.
The way you've summed the movie up there sounds incredibly like minimizing and diminutive.
Right.
But it's also not wrong.
No.
It's just, it is that. It's a bunch of old men being bitchy.
Yeah.
About dogma and things that in the grand scheme of things shouldn't really matter and that they should be above.
Yeah.
But it's also somehow makes that premise wonderful.
It does. No, it does. It does it in such an elegant way where it's not... So the way that me and you would slag each other off in this room is a different kettle of fish than what's happened. This is like...
They'll say something which on the label is not controversial.
100%.
It's only when you go away and think about it, you go, oh, he absolutely rinsed
me. It's a shower thought. They hit you with a shower thought. You think you're sipping a nice Macallan 30. Oh, my days. That is a delicious cask aged. Oh, my days. Did this bottle, was this bottle expensive? Yeah. You saved it for 15 years. How
you wake
absolutely
up with
a
hangover of sulfites.
And literally I wake up next to some sort of fucking ridiculous blow up doll that I don't remember ordering, but is somehow I'm engaged to.
These are the insults that they're throwing.
Yeah, it's insane. It's so good.
And so it becomes this big pressure cooker because they have to be, we'll get into how it works, but a terrorist attack in Rome intensifies the pressure to elect this new pope. And in the final vote, Benitez is chosen, the latecomer who's sort of secret cardinal, and becomes Pope Innocent the 16th, 14th. Man, I wrote numerals. Well, I copy and pasted numerals.
Should let me do this one, mate. I'm good with numbers. I'm just shit with words.
But these are numbers written as letters.
Yeah,
so.
But it's just letters, though. It's not words.
Fine.
You know what I mean?
Cardinal Lawrence later discovers that Benitez is intersex, as in between two genders.
He's just not into it.
Yeah,
none of them are into it. That'd
they're,
be banging.
They're,
you know what I mean?
They're priests.
Get my vote.
They're all celibate. So he's not into sex, intersex.
We won't make it.
We won't make it. We're doing this respectfully, Ben.
We're older than the people that... It's fine. We'll carry on.
We're above it.
We are above it.
Right.
We're matured.
Which is why we're no longer... Anyway. He's just elected a technically female pope as the head of a religion that won't appoint female priests. Is the sort of end point.
I think it's like a 50-50 split. It was like
They were born and raised male, but then when they had a routine appendicitis operation, they found an ovaries.
Womb.
Yeah.
And ovaries.
And then Lawrence decides to support the new pope after the initial shock, recognizing the significance of this election for the history of the Catholic Church. And it sort of ends on a slightly unresolved, slightly bittersweet, slightly choose-your-own-adventure ending, which we'll discuss a little bit.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to speak to both Bens here.
Okay.
And I'm going to say, you've seen one of this guy's films before.
What's he done before?
All Quiet on the Western Front.
Fucking hell.
So he's a bag of laughs, this fella.
Yeah. Nothing but comedies. Next one in the chamber, what we're going to do, Dead Pope.
But I think weirdly, they're both very similar films in that they're talking about tradition and the way things have always been done, crashing hard against the reality of where we are now. All Quiet on the Western Front is war is glorious and you go over there and you fight it with bayonets and rifles that you have to muzzle load.
Yeah.
And then these young lads walk into machine gun fire.
And tanks.
This is very much the spiritual version of that, where Cardinal Lawrence is there going, okay, well, my mentor has died and I'm grieving and I now have to deal with appointing his successor.
Yeah.
Well, that's fine. We're all Christians. It'll be fine. We're all rooting for the same team and we've all got everyone's best interests in heart and then walks into the machine gun fire and tank tracks of reality.
Yeah, yeah. Of a group of bitchy middle-aged men desperately trying to be a pope.
So tell me more about the two Bens.
Right, there's two Bens. For now, there's two Bens. The first Ben is the Ben that saw this in the cinema.
Right.
And was like, oh, okay, thrill is a bit of a strong description, but that's fine. We can just put it in loose air quotes.
Yeah,
thriller.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was a bit wordy.
It's very wordy.
It's
the entire film is
it's
dialogue
a fucking
scene
book.
Between.
It felt like reading,
people.
Mate. It felt like reading.
Right.
There's no. It's a picture book.
It is,
and that was fine. for the mood I was in at that moment. Right. And I was like, this is fine.
Yep.
It's a good film.
Yep.
It's a fucking great film because the cinematography mm-hmm. is delicious.
Perfect.
Every frame I want as a poster. In my mm-hmm. room, there are certain shots in this film where I'm like, that's a tattoo.
Yeah.
Or it's a fucking, that's a Sistine Chapel painting. Yeah, there is no other
way
about
it. When
the
bomb
this.
Explodes outside and you just, he holds his arm up and then there's the rain of glass.
The rain of glass, but also the moments after that, like mm. where he's sort of settling in the rubble. He's got the little cut on his face and he looks towards the window and there is this dusty room with some of the most gorgeous paintings mm-hmm. from however many centuries
the
ago.
Sistine Chapel, yeah.
I didn't want to name drop, but you know, it's fine. These gorgeous, you know, paintings mm-hmm. from however long ago, Rob, because we're not judging.
We're not.
Yeah, there you go. So these gorgeous paintings, but through like the dust, you get these like rays of light coming through mm-hmm. and it just casts the most gorgeous sort of rain of mm-hmm. natural sunlight from a clouded, overcast
sky.
The
light of God.
But it's onto not just the judge's table, or anything like this, it's onto like a whole fucking section mm-hmm. of these cardinals, but it leaves a certain subsect of cardinals completely in the dust and rubble. And I'm like, oh,
yeah.
Oh, I think I see what's going on there. That's very delicious.
There might be symbolism. So okay, that was great. Ben number one.
That was Ben number one. Ben number one walked out of the cinema and was like, gosh, I didn't expect to enjoy that as much as I did.
Yeah, yeah.
That was genuine cinema.
Yeah.
I might be into genuine cinema. And then I go home and I watch something like Cannibal Holocaust.
Totally, yeah.
And I'm like,
Ebola
no, I
syndrome.
Love Shameless movies. This is where I'm at. Shameless is the best.
Yep.
New York Ripper, 1000% sign me up. And that was Ben 1.
Yep.
Ben 2 got told that we were doing Conclave mm-hmm. like 5 days ago.
Yeah, I mean, for whatever reason, we decided to do Conclave.
There's no correlation to the real world of what's happening right now. It's fine.
What's happening to the real Pope? Who knows?
No, I don't know him.
No.
I don't follow him on Insta. I don't keep up to date with his news blasts. I'm not on his MailChimp. I don't understand what's happening.
A big subscriber to his OnlyFans.
Yeah. Forget what's... There's a joke there. It's fine.
Yeah, we're not
on.
Making it.
I'm moving on.
Because we're more mature. We're too mature for the Catholics, Ben.
Well, yeah, we are. Like a fine cheese, we've aged 20 years out of it. Anyway, the second Ben got told about this 5 days ago and was like, oh, what a great little nugget of cinema that was.
Yeah.
And I'll try and watch it again. I put it on. I fell asleep. I woke up dizzy, disorientated at 4 a.m. And I was like, fuck it.
Yeah.
Like, what? What?
Yeah.
Tried to watch it again, was just
bounced
got to the end of
it
and I was
like a rubber bullet.
No, why? What? The rewatchability of this is horrid for mm-hmm. the second watch through, right?
Yes.
Because you know what's coming.
Yep.
It's just a really fucking long walk.
I would argue that most drama films and most of the films I enjoy are kind of marinators. You watch them, they punch you in the gut, and then you spend a week thinking about it.
Yeah.
And then you have to kind of wait long enough to forget a lot of the detail.
Exactly.
Before you can then rewatch. And you do know what's going to happen, but it hits you in a fresh way.
Okay.
I would never watch most of the films I enjoy, I would never rewatch within
a week,
a month.
Okay.
You know,
that's
if I watch Three Billboards, if I watch a Martin McDonagh film,
yeah,
I'm watching it once that month. And then maybe 5 to 6 weeks later, if someone hasn't seen it, I'll watch it with them so I can watch it with their fresh eyes.
Right, right, right. Okay.
Or it's an annual thing. I'd never, like a lot of the films you enjoy, you can rewatch them the next day.
Oh,
they're just as fun.
Psycho Gorman, back to back.
Right, exactly.
Because I'm excited to get to the bits that I enjoy.
Right, exactly.
Whereas in this, that wasn't a present thing.
No, it's a strong medicine. You take it once and then you recover.
See, this is it. I want a Calpol. I want every 20 minutes, I want the sweetness to hit my tongue.
Right.
So,
right.
Plus the movies that I enjoy, I use as an escapism from real life.
Right, and this is look at this is this is having your face like pushed in the puddle of piss that is human society whilst morals go, what have you done?
Yeah, so my normal cinema choice, my normal film choice is like, I've fallen over and skinned my knee. I'm going to watch a film to take my mind off it. This picked the scab and was like, oh, by the way, do you remember that you've skinned your knee? And that was it. And I was like, God, fuck this, I don't want it.
Yeah.
And I watched it through and I was like, I was bitter.
Mm-hmm.
I was a little bit like, I don't fully get why.
Mm-hmm. So here's the thing. And here's the thing that I think is really relevant to this film
mm-hmm.
is you've got old Ben.
Yeah.
And old Ben was set up in such a way to enable tradition and keep Ben safe. right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's not pick scabs. Let's not look in mirrors too long. Let's just keep Ben safe. Yeah, old Ben has habits. He has traditions, right? And then you have a bit of growth, so you have new Ben.
Mm-hmm.
And that's almost exactly what this film is about. And it's based very much on the real sort of schism that came up in the Catholic Church when the Pope, who they are so very clearly depicting as having died in this film, dies, who is so clearly Pope Francis.
I'm going to agree with you. I don't know why, but I'm going to agree with you.
So Pope Francis, the whole thing with him is he was one of the sort of humblest, most Christian values guy in a lot of ways. The sort of huggy, happy Christian values that they kind of espouse, that was him. The old guy he was replacing, Pope Benedict, was hardline theology.
Right.
No, it's the word of God. It doesn't change. Fuck your feelings. Fuck your morals that you invented 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Fuck your social change. God said this.
Okay.
And this is all we've heard from him. So this is what we're doing.
Okay.
And Pope Francis comes along. He caused a scandal because he never stayed in the Vatican Palace, which is where every pope has lived ever. And he's like, I'll stay in the guest room. So the room that the Pope is depicted as having died in,
right,
in this one, which is a really shabby cell-like
really
room.
Shabby. It's got marble walls. What the fuck are you talking about?
If I showed you photos of the Pope's palace, it's the gaudiest.
Hold on a sec. I genuinely thought, I was, because when I saw his room, I was like, oh my God, this is so nice.
Mm.
Dude, he's got marble walls and that bed.
I went to the Vatican when...
of course you did.
Well, we were in Rome and it's like, it's entire country in a city.
I almost slapped you. I thought you were going to say when in Rome and I'm fully needed to know that.
So a little goth boy turns up. They turn me away because I'm wearing 3/4 length cargo shorts, because of course I am a little goth boy. Got my new rocks on, my 3/4 length cargo shorts.
Hold on.
They turn me away.
When have you ever worn shorts? I've known you for 19 years this year. I've never seen you in a pair of shorts.
Is it because maybe I was the sort of teenager who wore 3/4 length strappy, covered in extraneous and needless wallet chains cargo shorts? I think it might be, Ben. I think it might be that I shortsed out by the age of 19.
You sound when like we a met. Middle-aged Slayer listener. You sound like someone at a Slayer gig with the long curly hair, the wife beater, and those weird... 49 pocket.
Do you ever
trousers?
Do you know the shop Cyberdog?
Yeah, in Camden.
Yeah,
I love that place.
Yeah, I got my shorts from there.
Oh God.
So I shortsed out.
Didn't like the fashion. I really liked the employees. They
right,
were fun.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Really fun. Oh, so I get it now.
I bought the fashion thinking that the employees would be impressed.
Oh God, he's so cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
He just
spent
£190 on,
on a
3/4
t-shirt.
One set of trousers.
Yeah, exactly.
Amazing. Also, do you want your rubber spikes attached or do you want to put them on later?
Right, exactly.
Amazing.
Right. So they turn me away. I had to go back, put some proper trousers on, come back in, because you're not allowed any visible flesh except like your hands and your face when you're in there.
You've been serious?
And then you walk in to a massive cathedral.
Yeah.
Every single millimeter of which is made of marble.
Yeah.
And walk up to solid gold statues of the Grim Reaper on a it's the gaudiest Michael Jackson fashion nonsense you've ever seen.
You can't put an emphasis on nonsense when talking about Michael Jackson. That's
it
upsetting.
It is nonsense, Ben.
Right, yeah, I got it.
And the whole thing is incredibly gaudy. The fact that he found a room where you could walk from one side to the other in less than 4 minutes makes this incredibly humble.
I'm gonna Google pictures of the Vatican Palace.
Do it.
Keep explaining to me Pope Francis, because I'm interested in this.
Pope Francis comes in, drives a Ford Focus. He doesn't use the word hope. Yeah. He doesn't use the Popemobile. He's like, no, hang on. He drove a moped everywhere before. And they're like, you can't drive a moped. He's like, what if I get a Ford Focus? They're like, fine.
So hold on. The Popemobile with all the bulletproof glass and all that shit with the throne in the back.
Yeah.
He's like, no.
He hated it. He wouldn't use it, he would use it as little as possible.
I love this guy, because whenever I don't know who was the Pope before him, Benedict, you say?
Yeah.
Whenever Pope Benedict was knocking about in his Popemobile, I'd always be like, but nothing says I'm protected by the word of God more than bulletproof glass
everywhere
you go.
Exactly.
Ford Focus. I love this guy.
Yeah, right.
I love him.
He didn't use the word homosexual. He would use the word gay, and he would be like, if someone is gay and searches the Lord and has goodwill, who am I to judge? To which the answer is, well, you're the fucking Pope, It's literally your job. But also the fact that he refused to and say, Hold on, looking at the Vatican now?
Yeah, what the fuck? Is this it?
Yeah.
If I put in the Vatican Palace, this isn't where they live.
That's where the Pope is supposed to live.
Fuck off.
Yeah. It's a city. It's its own city.
This is fucking insane.
Yeah.
How are people supposed to... How do you justify this?
Here's the thing. This is where you get Protestantism, which is where the Catholics were all about building things that showed the glory of God, and the Protestants were like, we could use that money to feed people.
That's the first thing that went through my head.
Right, I'm pretty sure
you could fucking lob half of these statues into a melbourne.
So this is the whole identity crisis that the church had when the Pope that's just died in real life, Pope Francis, came in and was like, I'm not here to judge gay people. I'm not here to... We're all sinners. When they said, who is... His real name's Georges Bergoglio. And they're like, who are you? He's like, I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. I make mistakes. I sin. I'm just like you. And everyone was like, what? You're the Pope. And he's like,
what a lad.
You can imagine the vast majority of the traditionalists were like, this is destroying our religion.
Yeah.
Because you can't change the word of God. Because either it's rules laid down by God that we have to follow, or we can update it. And if it can be updated by men, what are we doing here?
I don't think... Okay. I agree with you, but I view it a little differently, I think. The word of God would mean one thing when we're in the middle of the bubonic plague, people are dead in the streets,
totally.
And when we're emptying buckets of piss out of an upstairs window into the street, right? It would mean one thing then. But in 2025, when China have just launched taxi drones...
Yeah, I get that.
And we're sitting here drinking a Pepsi Max, chatting shit into magic wand microphones.
Right. But then that's the issue that the church has, is it's existed for thousands of years. There are now Chinese taxi drones, right?
Yeah.
Everything has changed.
How much do you want one of those taxi drones?
I really do. Really want one. But if you recontextualize things to change with the times, you're not... everlasting. It's not the everlasting word. It's not this, that, or the other. You become subject to the whims and fashions of the time. And when those fashions change, for instance, when the Nazi Party took over all of Europe, what does the Catholic Church do? Do they update and say, this is the prevailing wisdom now?
No.
And
then the morality would stay the same. It's just the context surrounding the morality.
But then that's why, and this is where you end up with these guys who literally their life is they study the Bible, they live in Vatican City, and their sole purpose in life is to study and interpret this stuff to figure it out.
Sign me up for it, because I reckon I got a thought or two just off the top of my head.
Mm-hmm.
Just to sort of throw a bee into the honeypot.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Well, the good news is you are eligible to be the Pope.
Why?
Because you are a man.
Sure.
And you could be Catholic. And those are the only two requirements to be Pope.
All right.
You have to be a man.
Yeah.
And you have to be Catholic. You do...
Well, this all sounds just and fair.
Right. You do have to... You have to be a priest. And then you have to wait until your local bishop dies.
You have to be Catholic priest.
Yeah. Catholic priest.
Bullshit.
Then you've got a study for... You've got to have a doctorate. You've got a PhD in theology before you can become a bishop. And then if one of the cardinals who's already a cardinal thinks that you'd make a good cardinal and a cardinal dies, you might get promoted. And then you've got to win the voting during the conclave, which is when they...
Whipping it around's easy. I've seen conclave. I know it all works. I get two emails from one dickhead.
Right.
And then I get an illegitimate baby mama from another one, and I'm golden. You know what I mean?
Yeah. What I think this film does fantastically is it takes all of that recent friction in the church of, do we change? Do we acknowledge that we don't speak to a lot of people on the planet anymore because of where we draw the moral line?
I love that you just linked all of that back into the film, by the way. That was really smooth. Sorry, I've derailed it to point it out. I should have just
No, it's good.
But I'm very impressed.
But it takes all of that question about, do we stay the old us, the safe us, has kept us trucking for thousands of years, or do we update and change and open ourselves up to danger, open ourselves up to a factional split, which Christianity has had hundreds of. That's why we have Baptists, Protestants, Church of England, fucking Mormons.
There's people in black robes that smack your knuckles when you say the F-bomb.
Right, exactly. You know what I mean? Like a whole bunch. do we risk another one of those, or do we stick with tradition? Do we continue saying that, no, we only like B-movies, or do we say, actually, bit of a inverted commas thriller every now and again.
I like
with some beautiful cinematography. That's what this kind of wraps up, whilst throwing open the doors of a process that's happening right now to decide the next guy who's going to dictate what a huge portion of the planet decides is okay or not. Things like contraception in third world countries.
Yeah, yeah.
Is it morally okay to use a condom?
Yes.
In an AIDS-torn country?
Probably best.
Not to. According to a lot of Catholicism, because you're stopping God's plan.
Yeah. Yeah.
God rolls those dice, and God's rolled those dice, and if it's a one, you've got AIDS. And that's God's plan.
Okay. We're going to get into murky waters here, because this is a dangerous area to be.
And it's not one I want to be, but
it's a good point to make.
It's one I only bring up to highlight the importance of the decision 100%. Being made in this film and in the Vatican City this week.
I can appreciate this. And this is a great time to introduce Third Ben.
Right.
Third Ben, who is with us right now.
You're okay. Who has the light right now, Ben?
Third Ben has the light right now. So Third Ben is the Ben that has watched Conclave four times through. And on the fourth watch through, something clicked.
Oh.
Something clicked in the way where I wasn't just looking at it like a few Catholics debating random bullshit on who gets to be most popular for the next few years before fucking, you know, shit the bed.
Yep.
It got to a point where...
Right.
So they're all sequestered. They don't know the news and what's going on outside. A car bomb's just gone off.
Mm-hmm.
And Cardinal Lawrence has to make the very responsible decision of going... This is what happened.
Yep.
This is how many people died.
Yep.
This is how many people have been injured. And it's not just happening here. It's happening in countries around the world.
Yep.
So we need to come together
and sort this out.
And use our fucking heads.
Yeah.
To be adults for 20 seconds. This isn't a Mr. Popularity contest.
Yeah. And then Cardinal Tedesco, the ultra traditionalist, starts going off about
Catholicism
has allowed Islam to blossom, and it's all their fault, and this, that, and the other.
This guy, like, up until that point, I was like, oh, he's a cheeky one. He's a cheeky one.
But then he shows his true colors.
And then he shows that little wisp of evil, and I'm like, no, you're not qualified because you are you're a pissed uncle at a family reunion, spouting your little political views.
Yeah.
Oh, well, back in my day, fuck off, Larry. No one wants to hear this. All right, get over it.
It's that. And throughout the film, there's a bunch of people who drop their masks.
And you've got this stuff, but this room is where everyone drops their mask. You've got Stanley Tucci's character who comes out and he's like, I'm dead set against your ways. You should be ashamed of yourself. This is not what the church needs to be standing for.
And I know I said all film I don't want to be Pope, but actually I'm desperate for it.
But actually, fuck you. I would make a better Pope than you.
Yeah,
and he reveals his true colours and it's like, well, now you're just kind of getting catty.
Mr. Humble's actually gagging for it.
Exactly. Now are you in fact worthy
for
this?
And then Benitez wades in with
and he's been quiet for most of the film. And I've kind of been like, he's a bit of a throwaway thing, maybe just to sort of... to bring the thriller aspect.
Yeah.
And he stands up and he gives this speech, and fuck me, dude. Mm-hmm. He gives the speech about growth and mistakes in the past and learning to accept and stand by every decision that's been made, like in whether it's in your name or whether someone else made the decision, but you chose to stand by it. You stand and you go, yes, that was it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the church. The church is what we do next. Yeah. And I was like, when we were talking, whenever one of us has made a mistake, and I always bring up the drummer analogy, you can be playing the best song of your entire life. You've played a set all the way through. The last song, you drop a stick at a poignant moment. Do you A, sit there and go, I've just fucked it. I've just ruined it completely. And everything comes to a standstill. The crowd is standing there being like, what are you doing? Or do you grab another stick, fucking carry on like nothing's happened and recover from it?
Yeah.
Come back bigger, better, stronger. Make sure you finish out even better. This dude stands up and gives a fucking, like, dude, fourth watch through, cut me so fucking deep. I was welling up. I was like, oh, this is the film.
Your fourth watch through, you realize it's not really about Catholics.
It's exactly what it was. I was so hung up. I like in universe lore.
Yeah.
I like looking at stuff and going, oh, okay, but why does this happen in this semi-alternate universe that's happening reality adjacent? Why is this a thing? Okay, so this is the rules of this universe.
Yeah.
This, I can't do that here because it's just fucking Italy.
Yeah.
It's just like, what are the rules here? Same.
Yeah, yeah.
Same as here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Same as here.
And that's what I love.
Yeah. So, okay, I get it. I start to understand your cinema a little bit. Right. You know how Tammy and the T-Rex is the most Ben film? This is the most Rob film I've seen in a while.
100%.
Yeah.
100%.
But Benito stands up, gives that speech, and it hit me so deep that I was like, it started, I felt, this is, sounds so pretentious and so knobby.
Right.
But I feel like it made me a better person for being able to sit there and go, you know what, Benitez? I concur.
Right, right.
I agree.
But then that's what, so when we talk about the different types of film that we like, and you like escapism and I like training, right? I like watching a film and going, what can I learn from this about myself?
Yeah.
And what can I use as kind of like the sort of emotional dojo?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so for this film, which is not about Catholicism,
Per se.
Ooh. It uses Catholicism as an example to give.
Mm-hmm.
But it's essentially about any form of group of people trying to organize to do a thing.
Yes.
And every single person has got their own objectives and their own faction that they belong to. And it's about being more than that. And I think the reason the Catholicism thing works so well is that it's all about trying to be like God. Trying to do the godly thing.
Trying to be the best person in the room.
Trying to be the best version of yourself, all this kind of thing.
Yeah.
Whilst also still being human. So everyone in that room has signed up to try and do an impossible thing, knowing it's impossible. Yeah. You're a human, be like God.
Mm.
It's not possible, but in the trying, we might get some shit done.
Yeah.
And everyone kind of forgets that that's the mission. Until Benitez comes in and goes, we are going to fail. You are trying to be more than human, but you're still going to be human.
Yeah.
And in the face of reality and a human failings, you have to kind of have faith. In their context, it's the Catholic faith.
Mm-hmm.
In your context or my context, it sounds selfish, but kind of faith in yourself that you can be better.
I think that should be true for everyone.
Right.
I think that's the main takeaway from all of it, because Benitez
can I grow?
Exactly. Yeah.
Can I trust myself to grow?
Yeah.
And in this instance, it's using the church.
Yep.
Can the church grow, given everything that's stacked against it, the thousands of years of tradition, the traditionalism within the people who are in the church, what people expect of them, the role that they have to play, all of which are things we have.
Yeah.
You have expectations put on you and roles you have to play that suppress your ability to grow.
Yeah.
I think the wonderful thing about Lawrence as our protagonist is his defining character trait is doubt. He starts the film wanting to retire and asking we get to know him by him saying, before the Pope died, I asked if he would let me quit because I'm having doubts with my faith. And the Pope then dies, and Lawrence has to run this conclave full of doubt that he's able to do it, full of doubt that he's right for the job. But it's his doubt that saves the conclave, because he doubts everything. Ooh. He doubts Cardinal Tremblay when Cardinal Tremblay is like, oh, this is what I believe and this is what I can do. He's like, I think you've been bringing people in to screw over other cardinals. He doubts his best mate.
I do agree with you.
Right.
I think it goes one step further than that, though.
Oh, okay.
I think the way that, because when he tries to step down from being dean, the Pope is like, because he wants to go back to giving, like leading provinces or whatever the fuck priests do. I don't know. Own a church. I don't know. He wants to buy a church in the Catskills and go drink wine.
Yeah, yeah. He wants to go drive his church around the country.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, totally.
So he wants to go do all this, but to find himself, find his faith again, really reignite the sort of passion that he had for this thing before. And the Pope's like, no, you're not a shepherd. There are shepherds and there are managers.
Right.
Shepherds lead.
Yeah.
Managers manage.
Right.
Now go and manage. And I think the reason that he's such a good manager in this film is he doesn't ever take anything at face value.
No.
He always assumes he's one of these people that looks for the bad in every situation.
Yeah.
And I think the Pope saw that and was like, if I put a room full, if there's going to be a room full of 108 of the most holiest of holy men on the planet,
who think that shit don't
who
think.
Think that they are next to God, they think that they are the most worthy human being to
and
be
their
the
version
the
of
one,
God is the right one.
Exactly. To be the one leader. Mm-hmm. I need someone that's going to speak to that person and go, where's the cracks in this? What's the bit that's going on here?
Because I think ultimately the thing that resolves this film is you have the traditionalists who are pointing the finger at the liberals and saying, here is everything that's wrong with your position.
Yep.
You're the liberals that are pointing their fingers at the traditionalists and going, here's everything that's wrong with your tradition.
Yep.
And what Lawrence manages to do and go is go, you're all wrong. We are all wrong.
Yeah.
Because we are human. And that's the point of the church.
I love this. But I think, you know, at the very end where he knows what's going on with Benitez.
Yeah.
So he spends the whole film doing, and you watch this unfold as well. It's the way that it does it is fucking glorious. And it only hit me the fourth time through. The way that he does it is he's like, he goes through different candidates that he puts his entire faith in. And he's like, I can't be asked for this.
Yeah.
I just want out. Yeah. I just need someone to be Pope so that I can fuck off and go do my thing.
Yeah.
And he does this thing and he interrogates different people and he finds dirt on different people and he gets whispers from his like altar boy spies that are like knobbing about the Vatican for some reason.
They're bishops, but yeah, altar boys is fine.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what they are. They're all in white. And, you know, a couple of them. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? But what I'm saying is, he goes through them and he's like, oh, okay, yeah, you seem great. And then he digs a little bit and he's like, no, you're a dick. And then he goes to the next one. He's like, no, but you're a pussy.
Right.
And he goes to the next one. He's like, no, but all you've done is you've embezzled. You've essentially
bribed.
Imported baby mamas just to be a dickhead.
Right, this is fucked. Right.
And then he sits there and he's like, you know what? Fuck it. I'll do it. If it brings this to an end, I will do it. And the moment that you mentioned earlier about the car bombing and the his loss of faith and all this stuff, the thing that hit me that made me a little bit of a better person is that when that car bomb goes off, he's about to vote for himself.
Mm.
He's stood there and he's like, I can't be fucked.
Yeah.
I need this to end. I'm just going to vote for myself because there's 15 other dickheads that are doing it for me. If I just egg it on a bit, I'll do it. The bomb explodes and the glass shatters and the light of God comes
into the closed second, dark area
but it's the second that he's about to vote for himself and in my mind I was like, if that isn't a divine intervention in the most glorious way possible, where God is like, I'm going to bomb the Sistine Chapel.
And kill 52
people.
To make you feel a bit better about yourself.
To make you fucking reassess your position right now and actually do your fucking job. Manage. Then I'm going to do it. And the fact that he does this, right, and he gets to Benitez and he's like, oh my God, this might be it. Mm-hmm. And there is a moment where the camera is deadpan on Lawrence and it's in the room where everyone's gathered after the explosion. It's deadpan on Lawrence and there's the tiniest smirk, just the little corner of his mouth curls, and I'm like, oh, you've nailed this.
So
you know exactly which way this is going.
This is Ralph Fiennes at his best.
It is.
Because he's the lead protagonist in a film where I think he has the least dialogue of anyone on screen.
He does. But he does the most acting.
Yeah. It's all behind his eyes.
It is.
It's all in tiny mouth curls.
But this particular mouth curl, buddy, is him going, I found it. This is my exit gate. This is the right choice. Mm-hmm. This is what everything that I've done to this point has led me to this moment. And then Benitez gets elected the new Pope.
Mm.
Everyone's clapping. Everyone's applauding. Everyone's loving life. But here comes altar boy spy number three. And he's like, buddy, I should have told you this ages ago. Probably before we all voted for the guy to get elected
Pope.
He tries to.
Don't sway me.
Don't.
And because Benitez is such an outside choice, he's like, it's not going to matter.
It's mad, isn't it? It's almost like divine intervention is riddled through this thing. But anyway, he makes a choice and then he gets given this information after Benitez has been elected Pope. He confronts Benitez. And Benitez is like, it's all true.
Yeah.
Pope knew. Everyone knew. This is the people that needed to know knew.
Yeah.
And everyone deemed it fine. And yes, it might be unconventional and it might be something that is talked about for future generations. But also, it's not about what the religion was. It's about what the church does next.
Yes.
And I'm going to fully stand by this. Ralph Fiennes, in this moment, I was in bits because I was like, you glorious bastard. Has had so much personal growth, and even in his old ways, where he's shit picking to try and find the little bits, and he's like, I need to find this broken bit of glass that's going to get in the fruit smoothie and is going to cut everyone's mouths. I need to find it. And he finds it, and it's not that big a deal in moral terms.
Yeah,
in terms of what the religion stands
for. In terms of the tradition,
for,
yeah.
And the tradition,
But you're right, his arc from going from being the biggest nitpicker and being like, ooh, I don't think this, I don't think that, everything's wrong.
Yeah.
He then elects arguably the wrongest candidate.
Traditionally.
From traditional
but
states.
But the rightest, morally.
Yes.
And
I think this is where
you know, our little discussion about times and context being a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think it hit Lawrence in that moment that context is probably the biggest thing, where the rightest possible candidate did get elected.
And I think it's the moment of the resolution of his faith where he goes, well, no one planned for this.
Exactly.
But it happened.
Benitez is as God made him.
Yeah.
And God made him to be the next fucking pope.
Right.
And with that, my mind caved in on itself and just birthed Ben 3, who has been sitting here gracefully for the last 20-something minutes, probably. Can't tell time. But loving life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I've gone full circle on this one, mate. This film is fucking mint.
It's brilliant, isn't
it? It's fucking mint. First one, aggressively fine. Second one, kill me. Mm-hmm. Third one, no. Fourth one, life changing.
It's full almost circle. Like it's almost like the first watch was an asshole.
Yeah.
The second watch was a pussy.
Yeah.
The third watch had a baby mama that was brought into the room.
That's exactly what it was.
And then the fourth watch was the perfect union.
It was Benitez.
This is it.
I'm not gonna let Ben 1 and 2 define me.
Right.
Ben 4 is what happens next.
And it's why I think it's the best film of the last year for me. Mm-hmm. There are films that I've enjoyed more.
Trap.
Arguably
the best film of 2024. That's fine.
But I think in terms of classical drama, of just going, here's some stuff, like it's a part of the human experience I have never once wanted to think about. I've never once sat Same. There and gone, wonder what cardinals go through whilst electing a pope and why it matters.
Dude, right? Welcome to Ben 2.
Right. And then, you know, I sit down to watch something. Well, I'm interested just on a pure documentary level how this happens.
Yeah, so it was
And then it kind of got me with a bit of the drama of like, okay, well who's going
to
be
Welcome to Ben 1.
Right. but then to watch it and just go, there's not a single bit of this script that isn't intentional, that doesn't serve a purpose, that doesn't serve one or two purposes. And just the lovely, one of the things I really love is Bellini, who is presented as such an audience favorite.
Oh, 1,000%.
It's Stanley Tucci.
Yeah.
He's liberal. If you're the guy.
He's the cool priest.
He's the one
that rocks up
with
a guitar.
Right?
Yes.
Exactly, right?
He rocks up with a Terminator t-shirt on, right?
And for heathens like us, he's the guy that we initially latch on to and go, he's the guy I'd go for a beer with.
Oh, 1,000%. Right. Yeah.
And then to have his hypocrisy kind of unfold, where he ends up becoming this angry demon man, because he's like, you're not voting for me. He spent the whole film going, I don't want it.
Yeah, I don't want it. Have you seen the papers?
The papers are saying it's me. Yeah, yeah. Oh, what a travesty. I couldn't possibly. And then halfway through the film, he's like, you're not voting for me. And then that means Tedesco's going to get in and you've ruined the church.
Yeah.
And he goes, are you voting for yourself, are you? Oh, you picked out your Pope name? Picked out your Pope name yet?
It's mad, isn't
And
it?
You're like, all of that humility was a front.
Yeah.
And to do every single character has their mask taken off. And even the traditionalist, like, he's a cheeky chappy.
Mm.
And then he has that moment of just pure hatred. You see human beings being human.
Yeah.
And then you go, but they're Catholic priests, so, you know, I can't relate. And then you go, actually,
everyone's just a dickhead.
Right.
A lot like me.
And I am too.
I am a dickhead.
What was
too.
That the Pope said? Pope Francis said, I'm a sinner.
What a lad. Yeah.
Who's use your money on for the next Pope, mate?
Ben Groves?
Just give me a minute.
Because I feel like I've got some thoughts that no one else has ever had.
Right, okay.
I feel like I might be onto something brand new.
What's your first edict as Pope?
The fuck is an edict for a start?
It's like a law.
I get to make my own laws.
You get to make things that Catholics should do, right?
Only Crocs on Sundays if gardening. If I see
right.
someone go into like a restaurant,
right?
Or this, if I see someone at the cinema wearing Crocs with no socks,
ooh,
shoot him all, fire him all.
Right,
off
okay,
you go.
No Crocs with no Straight socks. Out. Obvious.
Horrendous.
But when you say Crocs on a Sunday gardening,
that's fine.
Does that imply Crocs Monday through Friday is fine?
No.
Right, okay. Only on a Sunday. Yes. And only if gardening.
Yes,
Crocs
Sunday will be the day of Crocs.
Right.
And nothing else, because nothing else is important on a Sunday.
There's nothing else Catholics are up to. Right, okay.
What else are you going to do on a Sunday other than gardening? You got a house made of gold. Right, shut the fuck up. What
I love the way
do?
You could have said birth control, but no, you went straight for the issues that matter.
I mean, strap it up if you want to.
Okay.
That'd be my second. That's my second edict.
Right, okay.
Strap it
birth
if you
Birth control's
wanna.
Now okay, because yeah. It's not currently.
Is that a real thing?
It's a real thing. Wait, before I slander an entire
religion.
Yeah, I was
going to say, just double check it.
Catholics.
Don't say can, because technically everyone can, but just may, I think, is correct grammatically.
The Roman Catholic Church believes that using contraception is intrinsically evil in itself, regardless of the consequences. They're only permitted to use natural methods of birth control.
Natural method? Like snake venom? What are we talking?
Punching.
Punching? What about sheep? What do they used to be made out of? Like sheep socks? You know,
sheep intestine.
Well, that's natural. That's got to be a loophole.
It's against natural law. It teaches that using artificial contraception, right?
This isn't artificial, it's natural.
Well, see, what's morally wrong is using such things with the intention of preventing conception. Using them for other purposes is fine.
Preventing diseases.
Using the pill to regulate the periods of a woman who is not in a sexual relationship is not wrong.
Okay.
Right? The church teaches that using artificial contraception is wrong because it breaks the natural connection between the procreation and the unitive purposes of sex. So they're like, it's not for fun.
Yeah, but
it's
dolphins do it for fun. Loads of people do.
Dolphins
it for fun.
Aren't Catholic, Ben.
Well, they might be. We don't know.
We don't know.
We don't know.
Maybe that's who. Maybe.
That's what I'm saying. We don't
and
know.
That smoke
if
comes out that chimney.
Yeah, maybe
it'll
it's
be
just
blue,
like
and it'll
the
be
white
like
water.
We've elected
white water
dolphin pope
blowing out of like the blowhole. We don't know that there's not a whole fucking like pope cardinal system under the sea.
A cephalopod Catholic Church.
We don't know this.
Okay.
Tune in next week once we've done a bit of aquatic research.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Do dolphins slap the knuckles of children that speak too loud?
If we ever get to interview the director.
I thought you were going to say a dolphin because I got really excited then. I was like, is this going to be some weird surprise? Like, oh, I went to SeaWorld.
Do you notice how I laughed like one then as well?
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, I got halfway through that laughter, so I've got to stop.
No, it's good. Stop. Keep going.
It turns sex into a non-marital act.
Okay.
And it gives human beings the power to decide when new life should begin, and that power belongs to God.
But who decides what's natural and what's not? Because growing your hair is natural, so does that mean haircuts are like...
There are rules in the Bible for what's allowed and what's not.
Yeah, but they're all written like poems, so no one really gives a shit.
what are you rating, Conclave?
I'm going to give it... Okay, that's difficult.
Yeah, I know.
Which Ben are we talking to here?
Ben 3.
Ben 3. 8.5.
Ooh.
8.5.
Celebrating 8. Nice.
Yeah, 8.5.
What's the 1.5 points it loses?
It's fucking wordy.
Yeah.
It's fucking wordy. Yeah, this film is reading a book.
It is.
It's an audio book. That's exactly what it is.
I feel sometimes like you assume that you don't like wordy things.
Yeah, hate them.
And therefore you don't enjoy word.
I go in already disliking it.
You go in already disliking it. And if something fun doesn't happen, you're like, I hate this, because you use films primarily for fun.
Yeah, it's an escape. It's an escape from reality. It gives me a sense of peace for a little bit.
And I do the same. If it's too escapey, if it's too non-realistic for me.
It's a waste of time for you because you're not
getting
anything.
The walls come down.
It.
I'm like, what use is this?
Yeah.
There's no point.
Yeah.
Like, this isn't going to help me make decisions in the future.
100%.
This isn't going to widen my perspective on the world.
1,000%.
This isn't going to help me feel empathy because these aren't real people. We need to work on that. We need to...
I like this.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I treat films like Steve Albini used to treat textbooks. So when he was recording, there was a band, I can't remember what they're called.
Nirvana.
No, you're a dick. He recorded another band. It might have been Cloud 9 or something like this, but they famously came out and were like, the guy's a dick. He didn't pay any attention to what he was doing.
When
he was mixing, his brain was elsewhere. And he came out and was just sort of like, when you've been doing this as long as I have, children, you learn how you work.
Yes.
And the way that I work is by, if I'm listening to something, I listen to stuff as other people are going to listen to your stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So I want it to be the best that it can be in that situation. I can make it sound amazing for a sound engineer.
Yes.
But it will be nonsense to a normal person buying a CD. Yeah, yeah. So he'll sit and he'll mix whilst reading the textbook.
Yes.
It takes his mind off the matter.
It's just engaging enough to make your mind do something else.
But it's still ticking over on the task.
In the background. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I treat films like that. I can mull stuff over whilst escaping and it feels like the pressure's relieved a little bit.
Mm-hmm. I watch films like a sound engineer.
Yeah, you watch films like you make music for musicians that sound like fucking waffle to everyone else.
Yeah, I
make stupid bullshit like Japanese glitch pop that sounds insane to people like yourself.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I love this film for the fact that it got me out of my wheelhouse so abruptly that I initially was resentful of that, but have grown to sort of be like resentfully grateful
of the
personal growth that I feel I've made in the last week.
Yeah, yeah.
It makes me think if I put this much effort into anything else, I might be successful.
Don't we all?
Yeah. What are you rating it?
So it's not a fat 10.
Okay.
Because...
Is it a slender 10?
It might be, actually. Okay. It might be a slender 10.
All right.
I struggled on a rewatch as well. So the first time I watched this twice.
Yep.
First time I watched it, I was like, that's the best thing that's come out all year. I love it. When I rewatched it, I just hadn't had the reset time that I usually have with a film
like
this. And I did, I was like, okay, this is this scene. Okay, this is this scene.
Yeah, this is exactly where I was.
Right. And so I don't get that with films like Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri.
Yeah.
I don't get that with films like The Handmaiden by Park Chan-wook.
I've still not seen that.
Mint film.
I know, I got it the other day.
When you hinge your film around a mystery... or an uncertainty makes for great first watch. And you can pull someone through the movie with that hook.
Yeah.
But once you then know the trick at the end, once you know where we're going, it becomes a slow film. And this does become a slow film on a rewatch. And for those of you that haven't seen it and are now this far in the episode, you'll probably find it slow too.
Only on the second time through.
Well,
third time through, you'll fall asleep.
I feel like...
And on the fourth time through, it'll really get you.
I feel like once you know where it's going, and I feel like we've told them that, but we've also given a big old spoiler warning, so fuck them.
Yeah,
but
this is on you,
right? But it doesn't have the rewatch value that some of my favorite dramas do.
Yeah,
because it doesn't have the comedy, the moments of levity, and the like, oh my god, holy shit moments that like a Three Billboards does or a Handmaiden, you know.
Banshees of Inisherin.
Oh,
my
God.
I think
God.
I saw it like five times in the cinema.
Right.
That's a bit much. Maybe three or four times in the cinema.
Yeah.
But it was glorious single time.
Painful, but
heartbreaking.
Heartbreaking.
Literally soul destroying, but it drags you through the mud to a point where you're like, I need to be a better person.
Yes. Yeah.
This one takes a little longer to get you there, but it does get you there.
I think that's the show, man.
That's
the show.
That's
all we've got time for this week.
Yeah.
We love you dearly.
We really do.
Patreon, absolute legends, we are aware, we are getting you t-shirts. I have almost all of the t-shirts bagged and ready to post. There's like one or two more I need to get so I can send them all out at once.
We'll do that this week.
We'll do that this 100%
week. 100% we'll get that done this week. That's top priority.
There's really long, really dull, really uninteresting reasons as to why they were delayed. But they are coming, we promise. And we all, or if it makes you feel any better, we have felt deep shame whilst they've been sat on my shelf.
You have. I've forgotten they existed. I'm not going to lie. The only reason that I ever remembered them and now feel bad is because you've just brought it up.
I walk past it every day and I'm like, I need to send those t-shirts, but we need to get one more, but I can't.
We're trying to be better people. We're trying to live up to Cardinal Benedict or Pope Innocence, whoever you subscribe to. It's the same person.
By the time most people listen to this, we might have a new Pope.
Fingers crossed.
Dolphin. I mean,
Ben's still in the running, all right?
Right.
Give me a minute.
Okay.
Give me a minute. I can jot some stuff down.
Okay.
I've got two edicts.
Yeah.
It sounds awful. That sounds like this is like an iPhone, but it's just an aggressive Bluetooth controlled dildo. Here's my edict.
Bluetooth?
I don't know.
Yeah, they're all Wi-Fi now, man.
All right. Well, China's got drones. So what? I'm behind.
Mate, you can remote from France. It's global.
What do you mean?
You can have on your app, you can control
one fucking app. Edic.
Yes. Sex toys now come with apps, so you can control them globally.
Fuck off. This is complicated.
Yeah.
Just literally just fuck a bit of rubber like a normal person. Why does everything have to come with like an like scan this QR code to come? Fuck off. Ridiculous. That's my third edict. That's no more QR codes.
No more smart
with
sex
dildos.
Toys.
No smart sex toys.
Yeah.
What the fuck are we talking about? We're dumb humans. Why have we got smart fake dicks?
Long distance relationships.
That's,
you can be like, woo.
That's stupid.
Woo.
I don't get this. Long distance relationships. Here you are. Here's a fake penis that I'm going to twiddle on the other end of the globe.
Yeah.
Boring. Fuck off. That's fucking stupid.
Okay. Well, it's because you're single, Ben.
But it's like, I'm not going to crack that joke. It's fine.
Okay. I'm just
yeah,
saying.
It probably is because I'm single. I don't get it. I'm just at a point where I'm like, I don't care.
Well, dude, really don't. You've got another couple of weeks and maybe, just maybe, before they find a new pope,
I could be in.
You'll find love in a popeless place.
Oh.
Found love in a popeless place.
No, 2 weeks, that's too
found
short a time.
Found love in a popeless place.
You're loving this, aren't you?
Love it.
I love that I'm in the same
room. I've had that joke on my notes. I haven't been able to work it in because we had a bit of a serious one. And I was like, oh, I'm never going to be able to use that again. It's this episode or it's done.
You are never going to get that at any point. No. Unless there is miraculously another Pope film right, that drops.
Another Pope film that drops the week a Pope dies.
Yeah. Great. Fucking hell. That's slim pickings, mate. Yeah, fair play. We got it in and it worked great. Guys, we love you so much.
Thank you
for hanging out with us. Go and tell your friends.
Go
please.
And tell your friends.
Because it's honestly, there's nothing more powerful than word of mouth.
God
might be. We're not sure. Ask the Pope.
I mean, hey! Who's he to judge?
You know what I mean?
Right?
God took him.
Consume.
Oh, is this what we're going to do? All right. Be in a world of cardinals where we're all slagging each other and trying to find those shitty emails about who imported whose baby mama. Be Benedict. Is his name Benedict? Be Benitez. Be the correct name. Be Benitez. Be the one that stands up and goes, you know what? We all fuck up. We all make mistakes and we all stink of shit. But that's not who we are. We're not defined by our stinky, shitty pasts. We are what comes next.